As we remain standing, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would help us to have hearts and minds open to all that you want to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Please do be seated. Thank you, Phil. So we're starting a new series, and worship in the wilderness, and we started on Wednesday, Ash Wednesday. And so this is the second of the talks, A Spirit-Led Journey. I'm sure we all have some very distinctive memories about events that happened in our youth. Admittedly, some are going to be good and some are not going to be so good. So when I was a teenager, I belonged to a thriving youth group at St. Augustine's Church. And it included meeting every Sunday evening and for Bible discussion, Bible reading, Bible discussion. And it included regular youth hostel walking holidays in the summer. And I went on several of those. I'm sure it's the only time I've been to the Lake District when it didn't rain. Or was that just some memory that's got a bit warped? However, one of these holidays was in Wales. And the highlight of being in Wales was climbing Snowdon. I was a teenager, I was not one of the leaders, but I knew the lad who was doing the map reading, okay? He was younger than me, and in my opinion, he was not very sensible. And as teenagers from Suffolk, our mountain experience climbing was not great. My brother he lives in the Lake District, and he does not believe me when I say we have hills in Suffolk. He just doesn't. However, we set off on this journey, this great adventure, and according to David, who was reading the map, we were going up the pig track. I'm sure we ended up on a parish boundary, but never mind. The pig track is not the easiest of tracks. And we'd been going a few hours climbing, and there was a group of army cadets, and they quickly overtook us and disappeared off into the distance. After a few more hours, David wasn't quite sure where we were, which is quite good, really, on Snowdon to get lost. And a few more people were leaning over the map, having a look. After a few more hours, it appeared that the only way forward was over this narrow ridge. And the only way you could get over this narrow ridge was actually to be sitting. There was a sheer drop on either side, so you had to sit and sort of inch your way across. And now we were really wondering, are we going to make it to the top? We were heartened, though. There were those army cadets who'd passed us a few hours earlier. They were on their way back, so we knew that the top was fairly close. Surely we haven't got far to go now. There was just a bit of an incline, and then it looked like we were going to be at the top. However, we got up that incline, and there was another downhill bit, and then we got up that incline, and then there was another downhill bit, and then we got up that incline. And we seemed to have been going on forever. We were nearly there, though. We did eventually make it to the top after a few ups and downs, maybe 5 hours after those army cadets passed us. They were somewhat fitter than we were. And once we got to the top, most of us were fairly exhausted, and we headed off over the other side. We were youth hosteling, so we had all our stuff on our backs as well. I have no doubt it would not meet any standards today for safety or practicalities or being planned, and I'm sure David's map reading skills will be better than they were then. I'm not sure to this day whether that was a good experience or not a good experience, maybe a bit of both. A few years later, Kim and I with the children went up Snowdon on the train, and I appreciated the views much more. All that is just a bit of a long introduction, really, telling us something that we probably all already know. Life has its ups and downs. Some days or seasons, thank you, Phil, some days or seasons can seem to be really good. Everything's going well. Everything's just falling into place. Other days or seasons, everything that happens means more things need to be sorted, and there seems to be no end of the difficulties that you're coping with. And the ups and downs can happen for days, weeks, months, years sometimes. or they can be all mixed in with one day. There's times when you're feeling on top of the world, and times when you're down in the depths. Times when life feels comfortable and sorted, and times when life feels distinctly uncomfortable and not sorted in the slightest. And recognizing that this is part of life sometimes isn't easy when you're in the middle of it. And when you're in the middle of it and you think you're the only one going through it, then it can be tough. But it's not just the case with our sort of practical life. And this happens with our spiritual life as well, with our life with God. We can have great seasons, thank you, Phil. We can have great seasons when we feel really close to God, when we hear him, when we know what he wants for us, when we know that the place we're in, can we go back? Thank you. When we know that the place that we're in is where he wants us to be. But there can also be tougher times when everything seems to fall to pieces, when life is difficult, when we can't hear God, and when we can doubt whether he's really with us at all. But you can be comforted. We're not alone. Everyone goes through these sorts of seasons, from the greatest leader who looks like they have it all sorted. You only have to think about Mother Teresa. She went through a desperately difficult times when she just didn't know God was there. To the newest Christian who is just learning. And we see it happening in the Bible, that great tribe of Israel in our first reading. And then even Jesus, he had a mountaintop experience, didn't he, with the baptism. And then he went into the wilderness. Thank you. So like I say, over these weeks of Lent leading up to Easter, we are going to follow this series, Worship in the Wilderness, exploring what worship looks like when we are going through this journey of tough times or desert times, and we all experience them. And Lent is a good time to explore this. It's a time when we are called to come to God in repentance and simplicity and sorrow. So Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, Nick's kicked off the series looking at a secret journey when we considered the need to come before God with a broken and contrite heart and to ensure that all we do, we have pure motives. And today's journey, a spirit-led journey, recognises that even in these times of being in the depths, God's Spirit is still with us. And there's three things that can be helpful to know about when we are in this wilderness time or in the depths. Firstly, when we're going through these times, it doesn't mean that God isn't with us. So when we're going through these times, God is with us. From that Deuteronomy reading, we read, "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness those 40 years. God was with the people in the wilderness, even though they disobeyed him, even though they weren't going into the promised land as soon as they expected, God was with them. Those people of Israel had experienced slavery for over 400 years, and their journey out of Egypt was momentous. It was a mountaintop experience, wasn't it, where Pharaoh eventually let God's people go. The Red Sea parted, they passed through onto the other side, and the Egyptians that were following them were destroyed. You can imagine those people of Israel. They were on top of the world, freedom, release, joy, singing, praising God. And yet, when they reached the desert, they quickly forgot all that God had done for them. There was no fresh water. There was no food to eat. They began grumbling against God. But God did provide for them. He provided water. He provided manna and quail. He provided good health, clothes that didn't wear out. But even with that provision, the people still continued to grumble. Just manna and quail got boring. They began to long for life back in Egypt, claiming to have sat round pots of meat and eating all the food they wanted. They named fish and cucumbers, melon, leeks, onions, garlic. They were in slavery. That wasn't the case at all. They were forgetting that terrible time of slavery. And they weren't trusting in God. And in the wilderness, that's what God was doing. He was testing their hearts. Do they trust him? Do they depend on him? But he wasn't leaving them alone. He was with them. He was there. It wasn't a punishment. It wasn't that he didn't love them. He was testing their hearts to see if they trusted him and him alone. And it's the same with us. When we go through tough times, God is not leaving us alone. He has promised in the Bible that he will never leave us. And it isn't that he isn't loving. We know that because of all that Jesus accomplished. And it isn't that he is uncaring. And it isn't that it's a punishment. So despite the tough times that we may find ourselves in, we can trust God. We can trust him completely. We need to trust God. Trusting in our own abilities, which come from God anyway. We need to trust God. So in the wilderness, in these tough times, it's not a sign of God's absence. And it can be that we are actually led into the desert by the Holy Spirit. We saw that with Jesus, didn't we? He's had that mountaintop experience of his baptism. The Spirit descended on him like a dove, and God's words, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I'm well pleased." What an amazing experience. And yet immediately after that high, the Spirit sends him into the desert for 40 days being tempted. And it can seem a little bit like that in our spiritual lives, individually and perhaps collectively. God calls us to do something, he equips us, he sends us, and then comes a time of disappointment or testing or setbacks. It might even be the case with the church plant. They've left us now, and we're having to sort of recognise some of the gaps, we're having to fill some of the gaps, we're having to change and adjust, even sort of physically. Those of you who usually sit in the north aisle are having to find somewhere else to sit. Where is God in this? But God has led us into this place. This is all part of God's plan, the church plant, and ourselves having to reform and regrow with God's help. It may not seem, perhaps, sometimes that things are going as we want. But if this is where the Holy Spirit is leading us, we need to hold on to that first point. God's in it with us. So, we find ourselves in tough times. God will be with us. We may have been led there by the Holy Spirit. And then the third comment, really, is that wherever we find ourselves, we are still called to worship God. We are still called. He is worthy to be worshipped. Whatever we feel like, wherever we find ourselves, God is a God who is holy, and he deserves our worship. But we do recognise that worship will be different. It won't be like that mountaintop experience. When we are going through a bit more of a desert, when we do spend time during Lent and Advent, worship will be different. And this type of worship is more reflective. It may involve fasting or giving up things. It will involve repenting or mourning, simplicity. It may involve taking up different things. This is all valid worship of God, but we are called to continue to worship God. So let's just take a few moments Just, if it's helpful, close your eyes. But just imagine for a moment that you're walking towards Jesus. Jesus is reaching out to embrace you. He wants to give you a hug. But as you look down, your arms are full of things. Things that we rely on. Things like musical instruments as we worship God. Computers, books, food, drink, work, activity, relationships, family. All these things are completely valid. None are bad. In fact, they're all gifts from God. But God knows if we are to grow in Him, sometimes we might need to start putting down some of these things. And Lent, or wilderness times, is about laying down some of these things so that we have empty hands. So that we have empty hands as we come before God, ready to receive all that He wants to give us and to receive that embrace. So whether we are in the wilderness or whether we're on the mountaintop or anywhere in between, God is with us. He loves us. He's passionate about us. And He wants us to trust Him more and more. So let's use this time of Lent as we worship God and as we choose to walk with Him and as we choose to trust Him in whatever situation we find ourselves in. Amen.